everyone, and welcome to Tech It Up a Notch. I'm Rach, your curriculum guide, here to help you connect tech to powerful learning.
And I'm Claire, your tech guru, ready to demystify the digital world for your classroom. We're excited to empower you to bring e-learning tools to your teaching practice.
Tech It Up a Notch!
So, what have we got on today, Claire?
The question actually comes from a real-life coaching experience I've had very recently. And in my role, I'm an AI and digital learning coach, and had a teacher reach out to me, and he teaches stage 3 RE, but also high school English. And he said, I just need some help making my lessons a bit more engaging, because sometimes the content, particularly they're doing a big unit on saints and how they people became saints, or like really deep into the theology and Catholicism of these particular people. So that's a tricky one.
It is a tricky one because
you don't want to be disrespectful.
That's exactly right.
Yes. And so one of the tools I showed him in our coaching session was Brisk, and it is brilliant. So I'm very excited to talk to that about that
and
today.
I'm excited that you're going to talk about it too, Claire, because I haven't really used it, even though you're such a super fan. Like, I've had a play, but haven't done a lot with it. So you'll be leading the way on this one.
So it is a web-based AI-powered teaching assistant. And the thing you really need to understand is that it's a Google Chrome extension. So it's not a standalone platform you have to log into. It actually lives inside your browser and integrates with tools or your Google Workspace tools that you may already use every day, such as Google Docs, Google Slides, Google Classroom, even YouTube as well.
Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, it can do things like adapting reading passages, writing quizzes, giving personalized feedback, I think it can do from what I've heard. And I guess it's helping with some of those repetitive tasks and those more time-consuming tasks that teachers would have.
And we love to promote it as a well-being tool to save teachers valuable time. Absolutely. As we know, we're all very time poor. So this is something that can benefit that as well as make your lessons more exciting and engaging.
And can the kids use it too? Is it just the teachers?
Now, that's a good question. Yes, they actually can, but it's more of a teaching tool,
Today we'll focus just on teachers.
Yes, let's do that. Yes. All right. So how do you access it? So basically, because it's a Chrome extension, you'd go to the Chrome Web Store, search for Brisk Teaching or Brisk, and then add it to your Chrome browser. Once it's installed, you log in with your Google account or your Microsoft account, and it will show up as a little black B icon up in your toolbar. There's a little puzzle piece, and that's where all your Chrome extensions live.
And it is tiny.
Yes.
I feel like people could overlook it in a busy browser.
Yes, it's towards the end, towards the three dots, the kebab menu or whatever they like to call it. And if you click on it, you'll see a list of all of the Chrome extensions that you've downloaded. Mm-hmm. And all you have to do is click on the pin to make it blue so it's visible. So I've got lots on there that we could talk about. I love the color pick dropper.
Oh, that's cute.
And there's so many others as well. But if you tap it in there, and then on any page that you could possibly risk something, the little B will appear in the bottom right-hand corner. You can move that, actually. A lot of people don't realize you just click on it and it goes, and then you can tap and it'll come back. But yeah, so that's where it lives. And a lot of people get a little lost because as soon as they download it, if they're on their Google homepage, they're like, oh, it's not there. What do I do?
Yep.
And it's like, well, you can't brisk a page. It won't let you. That doesn't have any content.
Nothing to do yet.
Yeah. So the thing I love to do is go into Google
Slide deck.
Deck, thank you.
That's okay. That's why I'm here.
And then you click Brisk, and then you go to Add Slides, and then you might just ask, can you help me with a lesson on writing a narrative or something like that?
Yeah.
That's all you have to do. And then you can click the grade level. If you want to, you can even search the curriculum standards for our particular English New South Wales syllabus or Australian curriculum, and then add that in too. If you're on the free version, generates AI images for the first couple of times you use it, but then other than that, you're out. then you brisk it. And honestly, it blows your mind. In seconds, you have a really comprehensive Google Slide presentation on how to write a narrative. And I love using that example because it really excites teachers how quick and easy that was. But it doesn't just say the steps of writing a narrative. Each slide talks about, okay, let's develop your character. And there's leading questions in it. It's not just dot points what to do. And it's quite comprehensive. And if you want a 20-page slide deck, it will make 20 pages and fill it with deep content. So that's how I always recommend to start with Brisk. And then I would love to wow people with a few of the other features that it can do. One of my favorite ones is the changing reading level tool.
Mm-hmm.
And the current example I've got happening at the moment is my year four class. We're learning the early explorers of Australia and Captain mm-hmm. Cook and researching and trying to find information that is year four, stage two friendly language is really hard on content like that. And
well, a little plug for Red eLearn if you're not using that yet. But anyway.
and also before that, when we were researching the Indigenous people before mm-hmm. The Europeans came, oh gosh, like trying to find that language they could understand. And I remember they would be writing these great information reports and they'd come up and show me and I'm like, do you even know what that word means? And they're like, no. So like, oh. And then so I just used the Britannica version of Captain Cook.
Yep.
And I clicked Brisk. I said change reading level and it gauged that the page was actually a year 9 reading level, that page, which is obviously why they were having trouble with it. And then I changed it to a year 4 reading level and bang, it generates it into a Google Doc for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's all in easy to read, student friendly speak, which is awesome. That then saves to my drive. And I could upload that, say, to Google Classroom or share a link to it on Seesaw. We create QR codes for the students just to scan.
Yep.
And then they've got that doc to help them research. We've sort of, instead of leaving them out in the wide world trying to research, which tends to take them down rabbit holes that and waste a lot of learning time.
It really does.
So while they're at this age, we're still doing that guided practice, but giving it to them in a format that's easy for them to take the information from. That's the skill we're looking for.
If it's just going into a Google Doc, then it's really easy to print because, you know, if you're then having to then transcribe that into your own slides or whatever they're doing, you know, it's nice to be able to write and annotate and cross out and, you know, all of those other things.
Yeah.
If it's printed.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's a really awesome example. And I remember when I shared that at the staff meeting, the amount of teachers that went, oh! And then I'm like, I love that look on your faces.
Yeah.
And particularly the diversity team. Mm-hmm. They were like, that is awesome for so many children that aren't quite at that grade reading level for so many reasons. And they can then take a text and modify it. Mm-hmm. And I even was helping my own son with some homework recently. And even though he's in year 7, when I got to reword it in year 7, even that was too hard for him.
Mm-hmm.
So I changed it to year 5 and it was much more his level.
Much more accessible.
So that was helpful too. So it's really good. Another really great feature that it can do is you can go to a YouTube clip and you can click on Brisk and ask it to generate a quiz for you just based on that, a worksheet. You can do the quiz in Google Forms or just have it on a doc, which is really cool. Yeah, have you ever used that one? That one's a good one.
I've just watched you use it, Claire. You know, I'm not needing to do anything along those lines at the minute. Yeah, I just haven't had any to, so I haven't done it.
Yeah.
So just watching you.
And I did an example at a school for a staff meeting and the principal said, right, create me the slide deck for the kindergarten information
evening. I remember this.
And the look on his face. And then we went to another school, told them the same thing. She goes, right, help me do that. And
because everyone was loved doing the orientation at the same time.
That was so good. And what it came up with was actually good bones for what they wanted to do. And that's what I love to say to people is that the 80-20 rule. So yes, it won't do the whole thing for you, but it's not meant to. That's what AI tools are there to get us maybe 80% of the way there, but you still need to add your own 20% to it, like teacher lens to anything with an AI tool. So it's not copy and pasting.
Yep.
You've still got to tweak it yourself and put your own spin on it too. So then after that, a really awesome feature is the Inspect Writing tool. Now, it's one that you can use, and particularly at my school, we just did an AI information evening for parents the other week, and we actually, as a school practice, use this to help gauge if we suspect a student has used AI in their writing.
I have all sorts of thoughts about that, but continue.
Yes. So what it can do is if they've done their work on a doc or on a Microsoft Word document, you can click on the Inspect Writing tool and it will give you a play-by-play recording of how they created their doc. So you will be able to see how long it took them and how many copy-paste events took place when making that doc.
Yeah.
So if a student has done one large copy-paste, well, it's pretty safe to say AI was involved, or if quite a few and it took them only 10 minutes compared to a few hours. So it's not a 100% guarantee, but it can help
add to
evidence.
Discuss.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And then we gauge it with our school. We do the students do a cold write at the beginning of every term.
Mm-hmm.
And then you've got their actual writing and we can compare it to that.
Yeah.
We get the students to have a chance to explain and ask. We ask some sort of questions about their work and if they can answer them.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to that. There's all the a few steps involved.
That's good to hear because more so from the tertiary space, I've heard some really awful stories about people being like accused, like, well, you don't get any mark because they're, you know, turn it in or whatever they're using.
Yeah, but it's not 100%. You've got to use the human element as well. Yeah. Yeah. So it's a great tool to use as an element of testing AI.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there and it's quite good. The other really awesome feature is the feedback tool. And there are lots of different ones. The paid version has a lot more. There's one where you can upload a rubric and have targeted feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And that one does it like comments on a Google Doc. And then it generates quite a lot and you can link it to the rubric specifically or to this curriculum outcomes that you want to mention in the task or the indicator of the task itself. And it will make comments on that. But I like to say, don't just press click, 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 yes, yes, comment, comment, comment. Because I think, again, it's best to read them first.
Mm-hmm.
Is that really you talking? Mm-hmm. Like, as you know, kids aren't silly. Like,
yeah.
So I think use it, but then, add your own spin. So that one's handy. But there's also ones like Glow and Grow feedback that I really like too. Mm-hmm. And it gives the students 2 stars on a wish, something they've done well and what's something they could work on. Oh, it's just awesome. There's so many different things. So
But I totally do agree with letting the kids know because I think we often say three before me.
It's
maybe you show a peer and you show an AI agent and then you show me. So I think that's the way we should be headed.
So I highly recommend the feature on it that is called Boost Student Activity. And it is brilliant. For instance, I did it with my year four class recently.
Mm-hmm.
I found a page on Captain Cook. And then I clicked risk, the little icon in the corner. I clicked boost student activity.
Uh-huh.
And one of the ones I really like to use is character chat. So what it does is you click on character chat, the prompt that you put in, there's already one that's there for you. Create a character chat activity about this web page. You can change the standards, select the grade you want and press boost it. Then what it does is it opens up into another browser window where you've got your website there. I've done it on a YouTube clip as well. And then it creates an AI chat function on the right-hand side, but you see the actual content that it's driving it from on the left.
Mm-hmm.
And then you click let's go. So for instance, for Captain Cook, I wanted the students to talk to Captain Cook to find out about his journey and how he discovered Australia and what happened to him along the way. So it already comes up with, on the top, the learning objectives. Identify 3 facts about his life and voyages. The second one is describe one of Cook's major discoveries or achievements. Explain why he was an important explorer and use basic historical vocabulary related to exploration and navigation. The way that the students achieve these 4 outcomes, it's so clever. It's Captain Cook, but the way that it asks the questions of the students, their answers will determine if they progress. So we did this with my year fours and they actually loved this.
It's funny that the year four class I'm supporting in my role at the minute are doing.
We'll do it.
Same. Yeah. Move over, teacher.
Yeah. And it was funny. So the first one says, I'm Captain Cook, the British explorer who sailed the seas long ago. What would you like? Why am I? I think you're in socks more proper.
Is that a Cockney?
Yeah, that's I'm Captain James Cook, the British explorer who sailed the seas long ago. What would you like to know about my adventures? Well, Jane. So like we might say,
was it smelly on the boat?
Oh, yeah. What year did you leave England? Because that might be something they would like to research. And then he's replying to us saying, da, da, da.
If you haven't cottoned on yet,
we're doing this live.
So Claire's got it up on her screen.
So he left in 1768. I sailed on the HMS Endeavour to explore the Pacific Ocean. Would you like to know what I discovered? Because he actually went, he was doing the transit of Venus.
Yes.
And then he circumnavigated and mapped New Zealand and the east coast of Australia. And you can see I've already ticked off the first learning objective.
Yeah.
So I've asked him about something about why.
And what happens? Because at the moment, risk is driving the conversation.
Yeah, it is.
What if I go off script and ask if the boat was smelly?
Let's do that. Was the boat? I'm pretty sure it's pretty good like that.
Only because that happened to come up in conversation the other day.
Yeah.
We're talking about all the convicts. It was more about first fleet coming. Well, all the convicts were, you know, underneath there.
Ships in those days weren't very clean. We had sailors living in small spaces for months. I tried to keep my ships cleaner than most captains did. But would you like to learn about my discoveries instead?
It's steering me back.
But
no.
It's good because...
No, James.
Of course you want to break it. But I love that because... It's sort of, yes, I'll indulge you with that little question, yes. But let's take
get back
it back
to learning.
So it's funny because there were some students trying really hard to have these long, complicated answers, and they're like, Miss, I'm not progressing. I said, but I think you've really got to be sharp and succinct with your responses with the Brisk AI.
Were you guiding this up the front on a screen and the kids in front of you?
I showed them what it did. I showed them an example of how it worked. But I said, the answers are from this sort of
thing. How did they access it, though? Did they all have to download?
Good question. So as the teacher, once I'm happy with this and I want to share it with my students, you click up on the share button and you share the activity with students. You can share a link, or we had the QR code on the screen.
Yeah, okay.
And when they put that in, they get a screen that says Brisk Boost, enter the code.
Yeah.
And there's a code they type in, and then it takes them to that page.
To that script.
Yeah. Right. So it's brilliant. And it was so engaging and the students really liked it. So with this teacher, I showed him that example of the one I did with my class and said, okay, so what's your focus you want to do with your older students? And it was a particular saint. So I said, you've just got to find maybe a really good, credible source that we could use to make this. And I set up a similar thing
for
him.
Could he do it from his own source? So if he made his own website or whatever,
you can Brisk Boost anything. Like if it's a PDF, for instance, you can do it like that too.
Well, that would be handy because then you could really target it, though, if you had the time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
You could take a website that was too difficult and then differentiate it.
Yes.
And then make your questions based on that.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's so many possibilities. So once the students have completed the activity, the teacher gets this really great list of data to say who's completed it, who hasn't, and how much they progressed. So you can see the students that achieved all four of those outcomes that were intended or skipped some. Yep. And it does say in the bottom corner, just note that your teacher does see everything you write in this chat. To have a little conversation about, let's be polite, let's not be silly.
Is that what that red exclamation is?
And he would be horrified if he knew.
But bless.
What it means is it flags with an exclamation mark if there was something inappropriate. But all it was he said, what's up? Like something like that. It wasn't anything bad.
Risk.
This one was interesting because it has this little symbol. And it says the student copied and pasted content. Oh, so they didn't know the answer because they didn't want to read the thing.
Yeah.
Went into Google, pasted it in, and it tells you as the teacher if they've done that. And what I love here on the side gives you a bit of a summary of what the strengths were, what they need work on or for those four areas, and then it can guide your teaching for the next lesson. Yes. And then that could be like their basis for their research or, now use that chat to then complete, like we did like a follow-up seesaw activity or we're going to do something on Canva with the older students as a way to collate that information they got from that chat. So it's a really powerful, cool tool.
Yeah, it definitely has evolved, I think, since I last had a look.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that's one tiny element. That was just the character chat. There are so many more. They've got entry events, exit tickets. There's writing coach now. I haven't had a chance to explore all of these, but it's just crazy how many there are. A tutor, a hook to grab their attention at the start of a lesson. It's just great. No.
Now, are these all on, because you're on the paid one, I believe.
Yeah. So we've got Brisk Educator for free. And you get the three feedback styles. You get the inspect running. You get Brisk Boost. You can translate. But then there's Brisk for schools and districts. And you don't get usage limits. You get the additional targeted feedback in it. Slides upgrades. You get to generate images every time you do it. So it's a lot and it's safer, I think.
That's
data-wise.
I was just wondering about where the data, if you've.
Yeah. So that's right. But then there's a school and districts plan. I'll be honest with you. In American dollars, you're looking at about $12,000 US, which
for
is
a year.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But that's because we're such a big school and it's price per student that's going to use it.
Ah.
Even though it's teachers mainly using it, you know what I mean? Yep. And so convert to Australian dollars, you're looking at nearly 20 grand.
Can't justify.
Which, but if we can just build.
And how long until it gets superseded by Gemini just working in year?
Well, Google that's Drive the thing.
Anyway.
Yeah. So that's another whole thing. But I love it. I love that. It's evolved so much since it first came out.
Mm-hmm.
So last year when we started sharing it with schools, I saw that they offer a BRISC level one certified educator and a level two. So I did both of those. And then from that, I had a few great opportunities to present on BRISC at either staff meetings, but then I went to the Google Summit in Sydney and then in Melbourne and I presented on BRISC and they sponsored me to do that, which was an awesome opportunity. And because of that, I got invited to join the very first Club BRISC cohort that they started, which is a community that they're building of educators that are using BRISC, promoting BRISC, and are leaders of BRISC in their community. So I jumped straight on that and it's very exciting. One thing I will say, BRISC, it would be really nice if you could share the swag bag to people outside America. I'm hanging. The other thing was that obviously, it was mainly for Google users, but they've upgraded it recently. They've now integrated into Microsoft Office.
Because you touched on that before, and I was like, oh, this is something I didn't know.
Yeah, so it automatically, for me, comes up Google Docs, but you can click on it now. Mm-hmm. And because obviously, they were restricting it from a whole lot of users. And I know when I presented it at the Google Summit, I had such a variety of people and a lot of them don't
They're all on Microsoft.
They are. And then so they were a little bit, would I use this? But this would open that up for a lot more people. The other really cool new feature, it's only very recently come out and I haven't had a huge time to play with it yet. It's called BRISC Next and it is crazy. So it's its own AI agent. If you really don't know what you want it to do or you just want a lot of ideas rather than picking one yourself, you might say, okay, generate ideas. So teaching year four about Captain Cook as my example, and it comes up with all of their features and you get to pick what I might use. So, okay, here's a timeline. It's made some Google Docs for me. I can go further and ask the AI in the corner, can you modify my search? It's got a list of engage activities. It's got the character chat like we just did as a suggestion, a debate, a brainstorm. Here's some assessments. Let's make you a quiz. Let's do a knowledge check. Like, it's just, it's crazy.
I feel like I'm taking it all in. I think, and because it has such a, it has a really important place. You know, some people, they'll look at this and think, I can do better. And I need BRISC to do this for me. But if you're in the position where you're so time poor or you're teaching out of area, or you're just not feeling super confident with whatever content you're having to cover, I can see that that would be a real benefit.
It's so cool. It's just going beyond.
I noticed on this, it looked at what you've previously been doing.
Yeah.
And it knew that you're in New South Wales and it knew that you were looking at what grades you were looking
at.
Very
cool. And that's exactly that point there of the data-driven insights for you. And a lot of our tools are constantly evolving with the needs and what people are asking for. And the batch grading feature, I haven't had a look at it yet, but reviews multiple student submissions at once and gives them that glow and grow feedback. Remember, you can only do one at a time before. Yeah. So it's like you've got your home base now and you could use this instead of Gemini. I think that's the idea that they're going for. But yeah, so look, pros and cons for BRISC. I love it. It's a massive time saver for so many and it integrates so beautifully to everything in your workspace. And I love that it saves things to drive and then therefore for your students as well. You don't have to switch between platforms. And I love so much how it addresses differentiation so well, how we can adapt all those activities to help the students depending on their level and their needs and create the content to suit them.
Mm-hmm.
However, cons, look, I know you've got some, so you start.
I just think that potentially people could really just create and use without any thought. And I don't know if that's a pro or a con though, because if you're inclined that way, then probably it's going to be better than nothing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
I think that for
probably
our school,
over-reliance on it
I think for our school leaders, it's an important discussion to have in your schools.
100%.
About how we're using these sorts of tools and how to get the best out of them in terms of workload without sacrificing what teachers can bring to the classroom, which is their personality and their interests and their strengths, and vice versa. You know, you hear some horrible stories about people who are having to teach from PowerPoints and they're not allowed to bring personality into their classes. So that's my only worry, I guess.
Yeah.
And of course, I think you've got on your list too, data privacy. I think if people are using the free version, you're going to have to be really mindful that you don't necessarily know where that data is going.
Yes, but risk itself is very safe though, like because it's linked with your Google Workspace, which is protected within your paid system, I guess.
I wondered. I wasn't sure.
Yeah. So you can look straight on their website and it's sort of saying it only reads what the teacher selects. And then if you want to get technical, you can look on their website.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, so, that's true. Because, I'm just thinking if you have a spreadsheet full of names and...
You can't do it on Google Sheets.
Oh, there you go.
It won't let you.
Right. Yeah. Now the cons?
Cons. It's that whole AI hallucination thing about sometimes people take it as gospel, but it can generate inaccurate, as all AI tools can do, and nonsensical information. So very important to double check it. So check that the site that you're getting to Brisk Boost on or generate something with, it's an accurate site in the first place.
Yep.
But just to check that information is correct because, it's AI, it's not perfect. Yeah.
Well, and that probably leads really nicely into thinking about how this is going to link with curriculum and our teachers.
Yeah.
And I know that we said that we were talking mostly about teachers today. So it did make me think about the AITSL professional teaching standards for our Australian teachers because even though this tool focuses on saving teachers time, it does then allow them to dedicate more energy to the aspects of teaching that do require that human expertise and connection. But in terms of data safety, if you're looking at Standard 7, it talks about meeting codes of ethics and conduct established by regulatory authorities, systems, and schools. So you would have to perhaps maybe even have a chat with your principal if nobody is using this in your school or system, just to let them know that this is something you might be looking to engage in. But also thinking then about how you can promote AI literacy for your principal, for your other teachers, for your students. Because if your kids are then going on and using the Chat with Captain Cook tool, well, you would have to tell them, well, actually, this could hallucinate.
You know,
so part of that learning will also be around, well, this is how the tool works. This is, you know, how it's drawing its data. This is what might happen before we even use it. So it'll be a good, you know, opportunity to touch base about how the tech is working. And then for our teachers or for our students, if you are starting to have those conversations, you might look to the Australian Framework for Generative Artificial Intelligence in Schools. And it's only a couple of pages long. It is a fantastic document. It goes through how to guide the responsible and ethical use of generative AI tools in schools. And it's not just for students, but for schools and teachers as well. It's a really good general way of thinking about how we're going to use this sort of tech safely. It talks about things like privacy, security, and safety, which we've been talking about, how to use it for teaching and learning, how to have a human and social well-being lens on it, the transparency of what comes out, how to use them with fairness and accountability. So,
and that's a really good place to start if your school is wanting to create its own AI policy. There's great things there.
Yep. And then something that's referenced in that document is eSafety's best practice framework for online safety education, which encourages a consistent national approach to support your school in being able to teach ICT and digital literacy capabilities that you would need to be doing through your general capabilities. And I feel like I've just said like bang, 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 a whole lot of things.
But no, it's good stuff.
A whole lot of good frameworks there that will be able to help you to use it in your schools, to teach your kids about how it works, to help your staff understand how it works.
Awesome. So please give it a try. Like if you have a Google account, then why not? Go on to
Microsoft.
Yes.
Does it run in their Edge browser?
I don't know that answer. Okay. Sorry.
Well, someone have a go and let us
know. So try it and let us know what you think. Like the overall goal was initially from our question was to engage the students, and believe me, yes, it does. But also for teachers, sometimes you need a bit of a boost yourself.
Absolutely.
To like think, oh, I've taught this so many times and it's just a bit dry, or give you a different.
I find I use AI for that a lot. I always think of it as a colleague who's sometimes a bit drunk and And, you know, you can get some good ideas from them, but you do have to think for yourself.
Yeah, no, that's so true. So try the free version and just see what it can do.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
Yes. If you like it, tell your friends.
Yeah.
And if you liked this podcast, tell your friends about us too.
So please email us at takeitupanotchau@gmail.com if you have any ideas for things that you'd like us to talk about. But thanks for tuning in to
Take It Up a Notch.
See you next time.
Take it up a notch.
Will come up through the learning objectives. So you can see it's got...
So has it generated the learning objectives?
Yes. So it's sort of like your outcomes you want the students to achieve from that chat mm-hmm. with Mary McKillop.
But can you set those or does AI set those?
Now I should do... I'm going to delete all that and do Captain Cook because that's what I was talking about in the first So I'll talk about Mary McKillop later. So
Claire's seen a need and she's doing something about it.
Yeah, I do resonate with Mary.
Ah, oh, she's a good lady.
Yeah.